Thanks for coming, everybody. My name is Louis-François, and I'm here today to give you a very brief overview of the Canadian Consular Services. So what services we offer, what's our job, what's our mandate here in Canada and abroad, and also present to you a number of tools that we have developed to help you prepare for a safe and successful international experience. This is going to be, I'm going to take roughly 30 minutes, so unfortunately, since we don't have that much time together, there won't be time for questions, but I'll be giving you I'll be giving you contact information at the end, so if there are any questions that are left unanswered, don't hesitate to, write me a line, send me an email after this presentation. So, consular services. Many of you might not be familiar, like this might not ring a bell to you, but consular can be defined as all the services provided by the government, in our case the government of Canada, to its citizens in foreign countries. And really the health and the security of our Canadians abroad, that's at the heart of our mandate. And all of those services take many shapes and forms, but they tend to fall within two broad categories, prevention and assistance. So on the prevention side, we provide up-to-date and detailed information to Canadians, such as yourself, who are planning on traveling abroad. And we try to provide information before they go. And before really is the key word for us. Because preparation is the key to safe and successful travel. And the prevention side is more and more important to us because we see more and more Canadians asking for assistance while they're traveling. We've seen an increase of 32% of the number of Canadians asking for assistance in the past 5 years. So that's significant for us. And yeah, just as a side note, I know a few of you are not Canadian citizens here, but our work basically... Well, it closely resembles what many other countries do, the type of services they do offer. So this might be of interest to you. And obviously, all our tools are all free for you, our website, publications, and so on. So I'm sure there is going to be something of interest to you in this presentation. So on the assistance side, even with the best preparation, accidents, illnesses, and other types of problems will occur. When you're abroad, linguistic differences, cultural differences can make those problems even more difficult to handle. And just in case, obviously most trips will go off without a hitch, we end up seeing a few thousand very serious cases all over the world every single year. You need to know where to go, just in case. And I also want to talk very briefly about the limits of the services we can offer, just to avoid creating false expectations. So we'll just very briefly look at a few current trends in the travel world. Canadians travel a lot, and they travel more and more. Those are very, very fresh stats that we got just last month. In 2008, Canadians made 53 million international trips, which is very considerable given that there's roughly over 30 million of us. And Canadians go to an ever wider range of destinations, okay? Demographics that typically would have gone, for example, to Florida more familiar places go to Cambodia, Vietnam, more and more. There are also always, every year, we see more young Canadians, such as yourselves, going abroad, either to work abroad, volunteer abroad, study abroad, or just take a gap year and go backpacking across Europe, Asia, even Africa. We have Canadians holding dual nationality every year. This is also very important for us because Canadians with dual nationality tend to travel more than the rest than other Canadians. And we also provide services to approximately 2.5 million Canadians abroad. Whoops, sorry for the transition, not the most elegant. But we are located all over the world. We have a network of 270 Canadian embassies, high commissions, and consulates all over the world. And on top of that, we have a consular services sharing agreement with Australia. So in many countries where there is no Canadian embassy, you can go to the Australians for help. For example, if you lose your passport in, I don't know, in Hawaii, in Fiji, in Bali, and so on, you can go to the Australians. And we do provide the same services to them in countries like Guatemala, Tunisia. Just by a show of hands, who here feels confident that they know the difference between an embassy, high commission, and consulate? Okay, not that many people. Well, embassies and high commissions are basically almost the same thing. Embassies are located in the capital cities of countries all over the world. High commissions are basically the same thing, except that they are located in the capital cities of Commonwealth countries, such as India, the UK, Australia, Kenya, and so on. And we also have offices in major but not capital cities like Los Angeles, Shanghai, etc. And those are consulates. Now, you can think of embassies and high commissions as sort of an HQ, a headquarters. They offer the whole spectrum or more services, consular services, but also, you know, immigration, diplomatic services, defense, so on and so forth. Consulates tend, in general, to be smaller, but almost without a single exception, all consulates offer consular services, assistance. So we're all over the world, but we also have an emergency operations center in Ottawa that operates 24/7. So there's always somebody there to take the phone or answer to emails, emergency calls from all over the world. So, for example, if you're in Madrid in Spain and your passport gets stolen in the middle of the night, if you call the embassy in Madrid, it would be closed because it's after business hours. So automatically your call would be transferred to the Emergency Operations Center in Ottawa, where you'd get to talk to someone, which is a person, not a machine, who could help you and give you advice on what to do. So in case of lost and stolen passports, first thing to do is to file a police report, and also the officer at the Operations Center would be able to notify the embassy of your situation, which can help expedite the passport renewal or replacement process. And by the way, if the situation is more serious, for example, if you're attacked, you're stabbed, and you're injured, for example, in the middle of the night, the officer in Ottawa is able to wake a counterpart up in Madrid so you can get emergency assistance right there in the field. This is a phone number to remember. It's the phone number to the Emergency Operations Center. We have a 1-800 number. We don't advertise it as much because 1-800 numbers don't work outside of North America and a couple of Caribbean countries. So we accept call collects from all over the world, and you can also write to us. We are very fast in responding to emails as well. Just a note, a few countries have telephone systems that do not allow for collect calls. But also, if you call a mission after business hours, those calls are transferred to the Emergency Operations Center. Here are a few examples of services we can offer. For example, in cases of wars, right now it's hurricane season in the Caribbean, so lots of Canadians there, so every year it's getting busier and busier for us, evacuating areas affected by natural disasters, hurricanes, so on. Case of civil unrest, cases of war, etc. We can also provide some assistance in cases of medical emergencies. I came here to talk to a different group of students last year, and one anecdote I shared about this was very well received. It was a story that was in the media roughly 3 years ago now. Was a young guy, a young man, early 20s, from Halifax, who worked in Alberta, in Edmonton. And he decided to go with his family, vacation, to Puerto Vallarta with his family. And while he was there, those are what we call balcony stories, by the way. We have a lot of those. He fell down from his balcony. We have a lot of those cases because in Mexico, for example, construction standards are different and balcony railings tend to be a lot lower. So we have a lot of Canadians falling off their balconies, hotel balconies, and injuring themselves. Sad but true. So in that case, in this guy's case, this was a 5-story drop. So he suffered from internal bleeding, a couple of cracked bones, etc. So he was rushed to the local hospital, where his family was told that they needed to come up with $20,000 before anybody even touched him. Luckily, he had medical insurance, travel health insurance with him. So they called the insurance company. The insurance company in turn did their little investigation. It took them less than an hour to find a number of witnesses who were, you know, who told them that that young man was very drunk at the time he fell down from his balcony. And all travel insurance policies state that if you drink excessive levels of alcohol, if you consume illicit drugs, for example, you are not covered. So in that case, they refused to pay. He still had to come up with that $20,000. Not an easy thing to do in his case. So his family really struggled to find that money. They weren't able to find the $20,000 on such short notice. In the meantime, his internal bleeding was getting worse, and he could only convince the local hospital to give him Tylenol. That's all he was given. So in cases like this, the local embassy was able to give him to grant him a loan, but it's only a loan, so he had to pay it back. We were able to lend him $40,000 for the medical care, plus another $30,000 to fly him back home. This was since he needed medical attention on the flight. He was evacuated through air ambulance, accompanied by medical staff. This is extremely expensive and fairly typical as well. So he owes us today $70,000. What we do in those cases, we seize the passport until he or his family is able to refund, give them the public funds back. So I guess, you know, he's well now. He's healthy. He was able to get nursed back to health, but he won't be traveling to Puerto Vallarta again anytime soon. So we strongly advise you to take medical insurance when you travel. Other things we do, we can help you replace passports and seek that you are... Oh, that's there for a reason. We seek to ensure that you're treated fairly under foreign laws if you are arrested or detained. Your passport offers no immunity. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card, and that offers a lot of people are disappointed. When they learn that, we get a lot of calls almost every week from parents calling in because their loved ones or their kids are imprisoned in a foreign country. And they call asking, you know, when are you going to take him or her out? And the answer is never. We won't. In many countries, however, if you don't pay, you don't get water, you don't get food. So we do make sure that your rights are respected under international laws and seek to ensure you are treated fairly within the local laws. Oh, by the way, you might not know this, but we have roughly 1,800 Canadians incarcerated all over the world. And approximately 70% of them were arrested due to drug-related offenses. There's a few things we cannot do as well. We're not priests. We cannot perform marriage ceremonies. We get a lot of requests for that. We can't assist you with job or apartment hunting. If you don't have the proper travel documentation, okay, if you try to enter a country, you don't hold the right visa, the right work permit, and so on, the embassy will not help you. Okay, this is your responsibility to make sure you have the proper travel documentation. And once again, we won't get you out of prison. So now I'll talk about a few tools that we have developed to help you prepare ahead of time before you travel. And the main one really is our website, which is travel.gc.ca. It's still better known as voyage.gc.ca, which is a nice bilingual name, but we're slowly moving the English portion of our website to travel.gc.ca because it's a more instinctive word English audience. So that's our website. Just by show of hands, has anybody been on our website before? I'm happy to see a lot of raised hands. Happy to see a few of you are not familiar with our website also. We have a lot of information on there, very valuable. For example, we have Country Insights, which provides maps, for example, and a lot of sociological, cultural information. For example, the types of work environment you can find in certain countries. So we have country profiles for about 200 countries. We have a travel update function where you can subscribe and get a daily email notifying you of the updates that we've made in the last 24 hours, because our website is updated regularly on an ongoing basis, and as soon as a security changes all over the world, it is updated. I have a team of colleagues working full-time on this. And there are two other features I want to go into more detail about: travel reports and the registration system. So this is an example of a travel report. We have travel reports for slightly over 200 countries and regions. So we basically have a country travel report for every country out there. Those reports offer a lot of very valuable information, country-specific, region, and we drill down to very regional information as well. So, for example, you can find information about which visas are required, a lot of security-related information. You know, for example, if there is a higher crime rate, types of, you know, crimes that are very popular, very frequent in certain areas, you'll find a lot of information about that. And also advice on how to prepare yourself. We have some travel health information, which is provided to us by the Public Health Agency of Canada, posted on there. And information on local laws, local customs as well, things that are particular to certain countries and important to be wary of. And we also provide the little blue box you see there. We provide a risk assessment for every country in the world. Some travel reports will have more than one diagram like this, because countries that that might be generally safe may have regions that are a lot riskier. So this is our four-level risk assessment system. The first level is exercise normal security precautions, which means just that. It means basically if you wouldn't do it in Canada, don't go and do it there. Level two, exercise a high degree of caution, means that there are identified and identifiable security concerns. The travel reports will give you more information on what those concerns are, as well as tips on how to make sure you stay safe. The two highest risk levels are considered travel warnings, where we avoid all Canadians to avoid traveling, avoid either non-essential travel, certain countries or regions, or to avoid all travel entirely to the said country or region. So I strongly recommend that you go visit us online and read, just browse through the travel reports and read what is of interest for you in your travels. Another highlight of our website is the Registration of Canadians Abroad service. This is a free service. It is voluntary, but I strongly encourage you to register as well. I believe the university also strongly encourages you to register. So we advise all Canadians going abroad to register with us. You're basically letting the local embassy know and the operations center in Ottawa know where you'll be and how to reach you. Once again, this is just in case, but if there is any concern, for example, a typhoon might pose some concern, there might be some political instability, so on. So we might want to reach you, send you an email or call you to let you know, give you a few tips. And if we need to get involved a lot more, if we need to evacuate a certain region, for example, then this is really the best tool that we have, because it might be hard for us to find you when you're in a foreign country, because we do not have a map with dots for every Canadian that's traveling. We don't keep track of you that much. So this is really helpful for us. And by the way, all the information provided that you provide to us through the registration system is protected by the Privacy Act. In other words, we're not allowed to share it with anyone, so the RCMP won't know where you're going, Revenue Canada won't know where you're going. This is strictly to be used by consular officials. We also have a number of publications. I understand that the organizers here have prepared little packets for you containing some of our publications. We have we have 13 publications that are available in print format in both French and English. A few ones are on specific topics, such as dual citizenships, retiring abroad, working abroad, women traveling by themselves, travel health, etc. There's a few more, but Bon Voyage But really is the main publication. I strongly advise you to keep your copy of Bon Voyage But with you as you travel, because it has a lot of, covers a lot of issues as you prepare to travel. But it also has a list of every single Canadian embassy, high commission, or consulate all over the world, as well as emergency contact information. So that's why this is a good booklet to leave somewhere in your suitcase as you travel. I just want to talk a bit more about our Working Abroad booklet. It might be of interest to a lot of you. It talks about how to, for example, evaluate a job offer when you're in a foreign country. Also has a really, really good section on culture shock. Okay, I work at the department I work. We're basically the diplomacy department. So I have a lot of diplomat colleagues who basically have a lifestyle of moving from country to country to country every other year or every 3 years. And all of them experience culture shock at some degree every time they move. And all of you will experience culture shock as you go to another country. And in many cases, it's going to be even worse when you come back. Okay, so there are phases, it's good, interesting reading, which can help you sort of understand what you're going through, and you're going to be experiencing the another culture and an environment. We also have a handful of online-only publications, like these ones, which talk about teaching English as a foreign language in a few specific countries. They were developed with professionals as well as our colleagues working at embassies abroad. So you might want to read those. Two last slides. Those ones are fairly content heavy, but I feel that those last two slides are very important. So, travel documentation. Make sure you have the right travel documentation. Make sure you have a valid passport when you travel, because once again, if you get kicked out of the country, if you get arrested, and so on, as long as you're treated fairly in accordance with the local laws, well, we won't intervene to get you out or to force the foreign country to let you in. More and more countries ask that your passport be valid not only for the duration of your stay, but for a month, 3 months, even 6 months after your expected date where you'll be leaving the country. Okay. Once again, our travel report does provide information on passport requirements, but do make sure that your passport satisfies the other kind of your visit. Your destination country's requirements. Visas. Student visas, tourist visas, work permits are not the same thing. For example, last year again, we had a lot of Canadians who were teaching English in Korea who got arrested by immigration officials and police. Some of them, as they were teaching, were arrested and forcibly, in many cases, put on a plane back to Canada because they did not have the proper documentation. So once again, make sure you have the right documentation. We do provide some information on travel documentation. However, each country makes up and enforces their own entry and exit requirements. So really, in case of doubt, and even to apply for those documents, the best the best way to go about doing this is contacting your destination country's embassy in Ottawa or their consulate in Montreal if they have one. Many countries also will require you to have a certificate of vaccination for yellow fever, for example. And then again, you have to do some research. I believe Kim will be talking about this a bit. So, as you probably understood from my anecdote, the Puerto Vallarta story, travel, health, and travel cancellation policy insurances are very, very important. Okay, our Australian counterparts had an ad campaign running about 2 years ago, and the call to action, the little phrase at the end was, if you can't afford travel health insurance, you can't afford travel. Okay, that's a bit blunt, but the message remains the same. Okay, this is one of the best investments you could make, especially for younger travelers. Travel insurance is very cheap, or less expensive at least. And it's not only for illnesses, but it's also for accidents, injuries, and so on, because healthcare gets more and more expensive every year. And a lot of South American, Southeast Asian hospitals are really top-notch, but extremely expensive. Okay, they compare to U.S. rates, for example. Just a room might cost you around $5,000 or $6,000 a day. Plus meals, you know, medical supplies, medical acts, etc. Protect your passport. Very important. It's the only document proving that you're a Canadian and that you have the right to travel. Make photocopies of your passport and other important documents like your insurance policies. I strongly advise you to leave a copy of those photocopies at home. And you can also travel with a photocopy of your passport ID page. That's the page with your photo on it. Because a lot of, in different circumstances, you might be asked for your passport. You might feel uneasy, uncomfortable taking your passport out, handing it out to somebody. So in many cases, just a photocopy will do if you travel with medication, okay, some of you might even need to travel with syringes, okay? Make sure that all your medication, even vitamins, are in their original labeled containers because they might be approved for use here in Canada by Health Canada. They might not be illegal in foreign countries. So, first and second, all border officials all around the world always look for illicit drugs. So to make sure they're not mistaken for illicit drugs, carry them in their original labeled container. And also, if you, you know, you must have with you, just to err on the side of caution, a copy of your prescription to explain what those drugs are for. And even if you have a syringe, I strongly, strongly encourage you to let the airline know that you'll be traveling with a syringe as well, because they might have a few security concerns. If you are a dual citizen, okay, we've had a couple of cases, even recent years, of people, for example, that's the worst, one of the worst case scenarios, but people trying to come back to Canada and who were not allowed to by their other country of nationality because they had not performed their mandatory military service. Okay. Well, they were eventually able to come back to Canada 2 or 3 years later on. Okay. We've seen a few of those cases in recent years. So, you know, if you have any doubts about your status in your other country or in another country, once again, the best source of information is the destination country's embassy in Ottawa or if they have a consulate in Montreal. Illicit drugs. Pretty much every single country out there has laws and penalties that are much, much harsher than Canada for illicit drugs. Okay, so obviously don't, you know, be cautious with that. Don't take the, you know, be mindful of that. But also take care of not taking anything across a border for anybody you do not know. Okay, not even an envelope, because we've had a number of people, once again, who faced very serious situations because they were caught at the border with illicit substances. And, you know, learn as much as you can, obviously, before going. So if you have any question, you know, feel free to write to us or even call us. And I know you can write to the International Education Office as well. And they'll be forwarding me your questions. If anything has been left unanswered or you might have a question that's more specific to your situation, you know, please do, and, you know, feel free to write to us. And once again, the emergency number is there. So I don't think we'll have time for questions, but I really want to thank you for taking the time to be here and for listening. Now I'm going to turn the stage over to Kim.